Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am going to play a new song by John in a minute. Please bear with me while I get iTunes out of the way. This is one of John's old songs. I'm setting up a new song. Okay, it's ready to go. The new song is called What You Feeling. Bear with us. Thank you. John, we're going to have to play the rest at the end. That's an awesome song. It's like Ricky Martin meets Los Lobos. My speaker, Block Talk Radio won't let us upload MP4s, so I had to play it live from my speakers, and for some reason my speaker keeps fading. But I love the song. I'll pull you in 1 minute. Tonight's topic is From Waffle House to Your Moment of Truth. Don't tell the whole world that you're not going to save everyone, but that you took the rifle from a killer just to save yourself. That's what James Shaw did in Antioch, Tennessee. He wrestled the gun away from Travis Rankin in the restaurant, threw the rifle behind the counter, and then he told national news that he was only there to save himself. Also, 4 people were killed in that same Antioch restaurant, that Waffle House, and several others were injured. It actually happened at 3 in the morning. Travis Rankin of Morton, Illinois, is still at large and hasn't been caught. Now, this is the 2 disturbing things that I discovered from this story, and I see Don on the line now. Don, I'm going to let you cover the story about the posthumous boxer, but we're talking about the Waffle House story now. A long time ago in July 2017, Rankin was arrested by the U.S. Secret Service for being in a restricted area near the White House. Special Agent Todd Hudson said Rankin had refused to leave the area, saying he wanted to set up a meeting with Donald Trump. Rankin's firearms authorization was revoked in Illinois, and 4 weapons were seized by federal authorities. Among them was the AR-15 used in Sunday's shooting. Well, guess how Travis Rankin got it back? His dumb cluck father was given the 4 weapons back by the feds, and he gave them right back to his son. Are you freaking serious, man? Rankin was added to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation Top 10 Most Wanted. And now there's a reward of $2,500 for information leading to his arrest. He killed three blacks and a Latino. If it was 4 white people, do you think the reward would be a little higher? I'm being tongue-in-cheek here. So that's what I'm going to just say for now, and I'm going to pull the rest of you in. Ben is iffy tonight, and Albert hasn't written back all day. So here we have John, the star of A Spanish Ballad, and Don Gallimore of the NAACP. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Jane, and love and peace to you in the universe.
I love that song, and for some reason it was clearly coming through, but my speaker just, for no reason, would stop 2 or 3 times in the middle of the song. But did it come across clear to you?
From where I was hearing, it came through very well, actually. I'm sure everyone has different reception rates, but no, it came through really cool. I was enjoying myself.
Hey, Don, how are you doing tonight? And I think I prompted Pat to have you call in.
Yeah, no, I was, hey, everybody. Hey, John. I was just getting ready to eat. I'm getting ready to eat dinner now after a long weekend. We've been traveling.
Well, Don and I can start the show, and you can just listen in for a minute.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'm good.
Here's the down low. I pretty much presented it to you guys. But the down low is that this guy went into a shop at 3 in the morning and tried killing several people. He killed 4, and then a African-American man named James Shaw wrestled the gun away from him, tossed it behind the counter. Now, Don, I'm a little disappointed with this James Shaw creature. After he did all that and saved probably 5 more people from being killed, he actually had the nerve to say on national news, "I was really only trying to save myself, not everybody else." Like, can you at least lie a little for the national TV? You don't have to be that honest.
That's what you white people do too much of. Lie. We don't like lying. Damn truth.
Okay, well, I think he said he was in shock, too, and that the whole thing happened in the flipping a light switch. So maybe he just was nervous and didn't know what to say. So I'll give the dude a pass. But
the guy was naked. The guy only had a green coat on. His name was Reichring.
Travis Rankin.
Right. You know, he only had a coat on, no pants, no nothing.
Well, that is kind of freaky. I guess maybe the guy, you know, he was just, let's just put it this way, he was thinking on his feet. He wrestled the gun away, he got it away from the dude. They found a couple more magazines in Travis's pocket that he never used. He dropped the jacket and ran. And Lord knows
right, where
he is now. John, what's your take on this story?
Oh, my goodness. It sounds like a Grand Slam breakfast was going on there.
He also killed a black college student who was majoring in musical engineering, and the mother was interviewed later and said he was a fantastic kid. That made me super sad.
Well, yeah, anytime someone gets killed, that is definitely, and in a violent way, that's something that you would not like to see in our culture, in any culture. And then the question always is, how do we prevent? And that's an interesting question, because with freedom gives you the ability to make bad decisions or good decisions. Do we want to take away all freedom, put people, lock them in little rooms where they're incapable of making any choices? Or do we give them the freedom? This guy probably has some mental issues. So that's another segment of the society. How do we deal with people that are, you know, have some mental problems? I was talking to someone.
Well, he does have mental issues, because I just mentioned that he was at the White House lawn in a restrictive area and kicked out, and his weapons were seized last year, about approximately 9 months ago.
But they were given back to his father. They were given back to his father.
Right. We've already talked about that, Don. The father gave them back to the kid, which is ridiculous.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder.
Why?
Because there's
It's the evangelical way.
Okay, but Don, first of all, well, we do have to have two or three more questions to answer. Why would someone drive from Illinois to a Tennessee Waffle House and target that type of establishment for whatever his avengement was?
Why did James Earl Ray jump from Texas to Memphis to kill Dr. King?
Well, at least Dr. King was a national figure he didn't like. I mean, these are just ordinary people sitting in a restaurant eating.
True, but it's asking a logical question of an illogical person doing an illogical act. You never know what's going to trigger that person, what set them off. I was talking to someone today about, because there's so many homeless people in L.A., and they interact with normal people all the time, I've seen people where they'll go in line to buy something, and they'll ring up a few items, and you know they're homeless by their attire. They haven't, you know, taken a bath in a few days, and they'll turn around, look to the next person, say, "Can you help me out? Can you?" And the person next to them,
and they don't care who it is, right?
Right.
They're just anybody.
The person next to him is going, thinking, "Well, I don't want to sit here for 5 minutes with this person in front of me. They smell. They could freak out, and it's a couple dollars. I'll just pay it for them to get them out." And it's a scam. I mean, they do that all day long. They just, whatever they want, they go and buy, as long as it's not a lot of money. And they'll turn around, look at the person next to them in line, say, "Hey, can you help me out? I don't have any money." And most people will accommodate a dollar or two. And what I was telling this person is that maybe, you know, as callous as it sounds, maybe someday in the future we'll just have a like a homeless city, and Bum City, and basically people that don't work, they're homeless, mentally ill, just walking around. You just load them up. It's, you know, a gated community, and you have people, you send food in there with and have armed people to watch it, guards. And if they get out, you know, if you want to get out of the city, you got to clean up, take a job, and straighten
wow.
out your brain. But
that's kind of restrictive.
I know, but what I'm saying is the people that are mentally ill are interacting with regular people and being aggressive, attacking, threatening, stealing. And what are the regular people supposed to do? How do you respond to this?
Well, I will answer that question, but we have a caller from the 845, a guest. I just want to say one thing is it is annoying to have people who haven't bathed all over the streets of L.A., but they're just part of the culture there. I lived there 17 years. I know some cities have certain rules, but I can't. I'm going to address this after we talk to the guest. Good evening. This is Jane with Blog Talk Radio, Political Gravity. Who am I speaking to?
Jane, this is Mike in New York. I never knew that I've never been referred to as a guest, though. That's an honor. Here at New Yorkers, usually we're not referred to as guests. Usually it's just
actually,
like it's one of those New Yorkers.
Right when I was asking you, I recognized the area code, so I was hoping it was you. But we'll call you a time-honored, repetitive caller who practically qualifies as a host.
Oh, how you doing? How's everybody tonight?
We're happy to hear from you. We're talking about the Waffle House shooting and how this guy just randomly chose a Waffle House when he lived two or three states away. And then we also mentioned the fact that he had broken security ranks by trying to meet Donald Trump once. And he had his this is a question for you, Mike. He had his four weapons seized from the federal government, and then they were given back to his father. When the federal government seizes somebody's weapons, why do they even give them back?
I don't know how the sheriff's department got their hands on them. When the federal government took them, they should have been held by the federal government. So I don't know what the deal was with that.
Right, they gave them back to his dad, and his dad gave them back to him.
Now, I mean, if that's the case, another example of there's two failures on the part of our system. Number one, you have a lunatic, again, getting his hands on a firearm, and to begin with, having the four firearms that he had. And then they revoked his pistol permit, his gun permit, confiscated his weapons after he pulled the stunt over at the White House, and he did other things, too. If you read this court, this guy's got a history. This guy has mental illness. This guy had a long history. So then the sheriff's department or the local police end up with the firearms, and what do? They give it to the father, saying, well, the father, he promised to make sure that he won't get them. Well, the promise wasn't good enough. Now four people are dead. So the system failed us again, and I have no doubt that some of the anti-gun uninformed out there, the first thing they're going to do is start screaming that we need more gun laws because of this. Look at this. Oh, my God, it happened again. Whereas if we really look at it, it's the lunatics that are out there and the system that's failed again, not the gun laws.
That's why we don't need guns.
Right,
that's called affluenza.
Well, no, that's not said. Then we could take that across the board to everything, even cars and kitchen knives like what the British are looking at. And do we take it that far or do we fix the problem? Or do we do a blanket statement the way the government does, which is the car has a flat tire, let's change the car? No.
Yeah.
That's not the answer.
What I'm saying is the answer is affluenza, and that's the reason we need to take the guns. We've got purity of race where they've interbred, and they're all crazy. And so they need to be taken kept away from guns. It's just
But that's borderline. Sounds like you're starting to get racist against people that are down south and saying that, they're all interbred and everything. And are you saying that everybody down south is interbred?
He does say that on a general level, I hate to say it, Don.
Yeah, okay. You gotta be very careful what we're doing here because we're walking a line.
A big burden.
We're walking a line. You don't want to cross that line and start making blanket statements like that because now you're back into the government attitude of car has a flat, change the car. No. You can't say a blanket statement to everybody down south.
Anybody with any money will change a car. That's how people live. That's what affluenza is. That's what it's exactly what affluenza is. These people.
Then I'll tell you
around.
What. Then if that's the case, then you're going to have some of the people in this country saying, you know what? Let's go over, reinvest in Liberia, and start exporting some of these inner city ghetto kids and start sending them back over to Liberia. Let them create their own country. That's the solution.
Well, that's one of the solutions that's been
then,
come up.
But
you're missing it, Mike. Liberia will take the people back. You've got to have the willingness to take people. That's why we've got Europe is completely gone, because the places that these refugees come from, they won't take them back. We have a whole caravan of Guatemalans and Hondurans that we can't send back to Mexico because they don't belong there. They won't take them. And if you send them back, you have to send them all the way back, and even they won't take them. This is a chronic problem. You hit the nail on the head. You would set it right.
I'll tell you, I mean,
you need to change cards.
No, you don't need to change cards. You need to fix the plant and fix the problem, just the way we did with Operation Wetback.
What Eisenhower did
with Operation Wetback, you put them on freighters and you shipped them so far down south that they couldn't walk up and they couldn't make it down to the border.
Okay, let's stick with the facts, you guys.
Constitution made by white men doesn't allow us to do that,
Mike. So this is the problem.
Okay.
You have lunatics that are getting the guns and they're committing these murders.
Right, and they should not have, and that means we should not have guns because half the population is lunatic.
So I lose all of my rights because the government can't control the lunatics because they shut down the asylums.
Correct.
Oh, that sounds fair to me. Hell.
So,
okay, what
so
are they going to come after next?
We are a reactionary set of laws. We are reactionary. Except for the Constitution, everything that comes through legislatively, damn near everything, is reactionary. So that means that the lunatics have already taken over the asylum before we even make a chance to affect a change or get some kind of position.
I want to mention two facts, you guys, and then make a clarification. He could not possess firearms in Illinois, but it's unclear whether he could in Tennessee. And the second thing is that I'm not going to bring up the race card. Don's right in the sense that a lot of mass murderers are white. He killed 3 blacks and a Latino, which is immaterial at this particular point. But my question is why did he choose the Waffle House? Was it just because it was convenient and there was no security?
I say that you're bigoted because there was possibly a reason he killed 3 blacks and 1 Hispanic.
Yeah, I know there might be a reason, but... I guess, Mike, how do you culturally calculate that? John, you can go first.
Well, some of these statements, so if you break them down, I think there's a little illogic. There's 16% of the population is black, so 85% of the pop or 84% is going to be white. So when you start saying, that more of these type of murders are from white people, well, there's, eight times as many white people. So just... percentage.
Whoever cleaning their dishes, knock it off.
Not me. So you can have a but as far as proportionally, it's actually African American male that's more violent. And I've seen this in society. The more threats I've had from violence working in a job has been from African American people.
Well, John,
the males.
That's a loaded statement. Now, you're cherry picking. You're trying to say that the statements broken apart are invalid by John, but then you make a blanket statement like that.
First, no, I'm responding in a very logical sense that I've had more threats to my life by African-American males just serving them at a cash register. I've had people be aggressive, but I'm talking threatening violence upon me. It hasn't been white or Persian or Indian or Chinese. It's been African-American males who don't understand how their EBT card works. But what I'm saying is you can't take away guns just because less than 1% of the population wigs out. The 99% need their freedom. That's how our country got these freedoms, was born out of resistance. You have to have a gun to resist government. every society has resisted government. Russian, China, America, Britain, any superpower. So it's illogical.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Go for it. Absolutely.
I'm just going to make up a scenario. So you work in West L.A. in a kind of a ritzy area. I mean, some people have high income, but most of the people who come to the 99-cent store are poor. And let's just say, let's just for statistical easiness, let's just say 50% are black and 50% are Latino. And of that amount, people are on government assistance and frustrated. But if you lived in Duluth, Minnesota, and you were serving German Scandinavians and a few Irish, and an Irishman got pissed off maybe three times that week, would you relay the story in the same way?
I would be very honest about ratios. Or in other words, if 85% of the population is white, I expect 85% of the crime to be male. If in prison 30% or 40 or 50% are African American for violent crimes, then that's a disproportionate amount to 16% of the population. Does that statistically make sense?
Yeah,
mathematically?
For me that makes sense because I know you well and I know the way you think, but I'm going to shoot a question out for Mike or Don. Mike, I want to pose Mike or Don, Mike the first question and Don the second. Mike, given the fact that he was on the White House lawn once, he was in a restricted area, he was removed by the Secret Service, I'm not sure if they – I don't think his guns were removed on that occasion. I think they were removed by the Illinois State Police. But being the way it is, do you think the government or law enforcement should have maybe arrested this kid? Because I don't know his rap sheet. And do you think this is another thing like the Parkland shooting that something could have been done first? And then I have another question for Don in a few minutes.
Yes. First, the articles that I read said that the police, the government, the FBI, after they grabbed this kid outside of the White House, that the FBI were the ones that took the guns away from him. But they weren't clear on how local authorities ended up with the firearms. And,
were they shipped back there? Who knows?
Right.
Because I did clarify in the article that the guns were sent back to Illinois.
Yes. So the father might have petitioned for custody because it's property. Unlike there are some states where your property is still your property. You have a right to your property. It has cash value. Unlike here in New York where guns have no value in the eyes of the government, they can be considered a nuisance and destroyed, a nuisance, which is bizarre, but that's New York. So anyways, they dropped the ball. The government dropped the ball again. This kid should have been put away, and he should have had the treatments that he needed in an institution. He should have been in an asylum, but we've closed them all, and because we're a compassionate world now, so we have to be understanding, and people have to die for our compassion. We have to be understanding and understand that these lunatics have lives too. Their lives matter. It's okay. He killed 10 or 15 people, but we love them the same, don't we? We're a wonderful world. See, look at the unicorns.
My take on this is I don't own guns, but I have a 19-year-old son. And if I knew that he had behaviors and he still lived with me, those guns would I would have removed him from my home the minute I found out he did something foolish. Like if he was
exactly
down at the state capitol harassing somebody or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like,
you're right.
I would never be the kind of parent that would return those firearms to my child.
Now, right
and
now,
this
that
kid's
father
29,
should be charged.
So he is a full-fledged adult.
Oh, they should be doing an investigation
to find out
how he ended up with the gun, how he ended up with the guns, and the father should be charged. If the father turned those weapons back over to the kid, the father should be facing jail time for murder.
So, Don, what's your take on everything we've all said tonight? Because I did pressure you to call the show in, and I don't want to disclude you.
You always disclude me. But anyway, because, you know, for the most part, what in the world? If, you know, that's what all these disparities in property property not property when you grab property and drug raids,
confiscation
like,
confiscation
property, confiscated property that goes on all the time. Police the police
and most of it never gets returned.
The evidence rooms are full of property that's been confiscated and will be sold at auction or destroyed. This should be no exception when that father turned those guns over and he got them back just now. They should have been confiscated. This is a truly, truly inequitable nation. It's been like that since day one, and it still is. And we're looking at the fact that people are cherishing their material things over humanism, and this.
Well, even beyond the broader philosophical curve,
you asked
Don,
me about broad.
I know. I want to ask you something specifically based on what you just said.
Okay.
Just on the fact alone that the kid was unstable. Okay, well, I kind of lost my train of thought, so just continue.
Yeah, well, the kid was unstable. You know, all these people are unstable who are under the FBI, CIA watch. They wouldn't be on the watch if they weren't, you know, unstable or if they were stable. So all these people should be under much more close scrutiny than they already are. That's the failure of our system, and that's why I do blanket blame white people, because they built it, they created it, and they destroy it happily. We've got things, you know, and then they don't.
One thing we forgot to mention is he either got fired or quit a job recently, and then he was supposed to start a new job this past Tuesday, but he never showed up.
I wonder why. He probably will show up. He's still out there.
So,
well, he's
John,
not going to show up to his new job. He might show up naked at the swimming pool for a shower.
Right, and he doesn't have to worry about it because he won't get turned in. His new job is probably at some country club someplace, and they'll just coddle him. And
oh, so now you're going to say that the mass members of society are going to protect this lunatic?
Hell yeah. Watch his sentence.
He's a cracker.
You know.
He's a low-class white.
Yeah, but his sentence will be 10 to 15 instead of 25 to life.
Well, I did want to segue into Joe Jackson, the boxer, but we only have 12 minutes of the show left.
Jack Johnson. Get his name right.
Okay, I have to ask you guys something quick. John, Mike, and Don, do you want me to schedule another show at 10 p.m., or do you want to just wrap this up?
Well, maybe just wrap it up. I don't know where I'll be at 10. I mean, I can't get.
Okay,
to
yeah,
because
Ben is on a short leave, our Washington State participant, because he's going through some personal issues. So I only scheduled a 45-minute show tonight because I worked a 40-hour weekend, 36 hours straight. I didn't buy premium. So I think we should just do our conclusions, and then I'll end with John's new song, A Spanish Ballad. So John's one of our co-hosts. He's on the air. So I'm just going to say a 30-second soundbite, and then you guys can fight it out between you. I guess my conclusion is we still have a good 15 minutes, so don't trip. But the thing is I feel like there should have been warning signs between different states, because only Kentucky resides between Illinois and Tennessee. If this guy became unhinged, it might have been hard to detect, but his father should have notified somebody if he left the state with four guns, so I do feel like the warning signs are similar to Parkland, where somebody could have done something, whether it was the immediate family or local authorities. Anyone else want to go?
I agree.
Yeah, that's
I agree.
All that garbage. I mean, we're protecting, coddling all these little bitch babies, and they're just continuing the same thing: killing, maiming, segregation, voter disenfranchisement.
But these aren't even functioning members of society.
Honey, none of them are protecting them.
They had poor parenting, and they're trying to get attention in a bizarre way.
Whatever.
Will somebody go, please? My computer just turned off for some reason. John, why don't you weigh in?
Well, I guess there's a couple questions. One is, what do you want the white man to do that will make Don a happy African-American citizen?
Pay money. What logically can be done?
Because here's the problem: is we could pick one person in the universe and track their every move, their every decision, and assign a whole war battalion after them. It's just not logical. You know how many unstable, mentally ill people there are every day that get arrested? Now, this guy stands out because he did go to the White House, so I give him props for that. Obviously, someone should have been red flagged him. But when you start getting into reparations, I don't understand that. We want to treat people equally, but you're going to treat people differently based on what someone two or three generations did? I don't get that at all. I think you have to treat each person as they are right now based on my actions. I haven't owned any slaves. In fact, I'm part Indian. I want the white man to leave. Now, if my Native American Indian brothers had guns, or if your African American brothers had guns, they could have fought off the white man. But, Don, you don't believe that we should have guns, so that's why your people got taken away as slaves, and my people too.
I think even if we discussed parking tickets even if we were talking about parking tickets somehow, I get the feeling it would come back around reparations. Or do you think the flowers in front of City Hall should be changed? No, the white man's going to pay us money. Oh, the reparations.
No,
matter what the subject is, for some reason it comes back to the black man did this and the black man is owed that. And the white, you're part of America the same as all of us. No, stop.
No. We're not part of America.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Liberia. Stop.
The future.
The white man has already cordoned off great swaths of this land to give to the Indians. What kind of shit is that? And then he's gone and pretty much cordoned off a lot of the inner cities for black men and women, black people. And now the Hispanics are moving in, and nobody can find a place to live. Inner city, because of gentrification, inner city properties have gone through the roof. Right now, the median price of a home is upwards of $340,000. That's ridiculous. Nobody who cannot get a job, they will not, we've got Tesla out here. They refuse to employ black people in at least overtly, subvertly. So, this is a ongoing situation that nobody wants to face. No one wants to acknowledge the fact that there is racism, which is the number one problem. The only reason some of these politicians, the financiers, are in business is to perpetuate racism. That's how they do their business. Redlining is where you can have money, you can have cash, and can't buy a house in certain areas because they won't let you. That's ridiculous. And and you guys are so freaking blind that you can't see. And there's nothing we can do but try to start doing what we need to do to make this much more equitable without you. Because you're failed.
No matter what topic we're discussing, whether it's a shooting at the Waffle House or anything else, we have to bring it back to reparations and to racism.
Yes. For the most part, if you're talking about the quelling of potential disheveled you know, Deceivals, you need to make this equitable. You need to give people an idea, a concept that they are being treated fairly. We gave out four tarps, Mike. None of that money went to the inner cities. Zero. Four tarps. Total.
Right, and 97% of the bailout money didn't go to distressed homeowners like me, and other people, which were white. But here's the issue, Don. I think you're half right, and by that I mean scripturally, in the Jewish culture, what they used to do every 50 years, they had what's called the Year of Jubilee, and what that meant is all debts and whatever you had that you owed someone were forgiven. And so that was a system to keep the society fair, because you knew, like, you're not going to ream someone if in, you know, say you have got 5 years till the year of Jubilee, you're going to not going to run up the bill because you're going to have to forgive that guy. So it's a system to not be a slave or a debtor in the Jewish society, which basically means that whether you're Jewish, whether you're Arab, whether you're black, blue, Chinese, people oppress people. You're trying to make this a white man is evil and sinful, and he's the one who all the imbalance of the world. Every culture has oppressed people. Black people made black people slaves too. Chinese made Chinese people slaves. You go to North Korea, they are under bondage under Kim Jong-un. It's not a black man. And so I think you're missing the point. The nature of people with power is to oppress those who don't have it. It doesn't matter the skin color. It's sin, not skin. I think as long as you have this black chip on your shoulder, or society does, you'll never be able to escape it. You'll be a victim. And I don't want to see you be a victim in life. You know, be free, my brother.
Can I say, the show's going to cut off in 3 minutes. I just wanted to say that they interviewed somebody, NPR interviewed a female author today who wrote a book about the Klan, and the numbers are growing, and she also said 250,000 Americans read their literature. But I'm just going to throw that in there quick because the show's cutting off in 2 minutes, and I'd rather have somebody else talk.
Evangelicals are living a lie. That's my conclusion.
Okay, Mike or John, you have to conclude the show. We only have 2 minutes left. 3 minutes.
Oh, go for it, Mike.
Well, I just hope that what happened, getting back to the main topic, which seemed to be the Waffle House, I hope that the politicians that are in charge can brush away all the smoke and all the screen and all the rhetoric and see that the government was what the problems were, what the faults were, where the fault lies, and fix the problem rather than just a blanket.
I hope they find him alive and that he can account for his bad decisions, even if they're complicated and messy. Like, I want to know why people do this. I want to know why they go in places and shoot people up.
Well, they're naked.
But I can tell you this, I you know, because Don was making a point about culture. I can tell you I've had six people of African American heritage who have been renters of mine, and I can tell you that all of them do not believe in paying rent. I've had to evict all of them, including someone that was married to my white brother, musical brother, and she stopped paying rent after a few months. I don't understand it. It's I don't know why that exists. When I went to the Santa Monica courthouse to get eviction papers, 18 of the 20 cases there were African Americans who weren't paying their rent, and one Mexican and one white, which, again, do the statistical analysis of numbers.
That might be true, but I do think it's a little unfair for you to say that. It's like, when my mom worked at the Ramsey County Nursing Home and there was one black employee, Gloria Owens, and she thought whatever Gloria Owens did, the rest of the black race did. I mean, it is a pretty narrow way of defining things.
What I am saying is that my experience has been actually that blacks were not the victim, that rather the white person, or I'm actually mixed, I'm half white, half Hispanic, half part Indian, and that I was exploited by, or in other words, I was the one being ripped off. I was supporting these people who weren't paying rent.
That's true.
Owed money. And not only that, to this day, I have an African-American brother who sleeps in my car whenever he needs it, or he records free of charge. I've helped record and post YouTube videos.